This is lecture 3.2 from the early lectures of Rudolf Steiner entitled The Christian Mystery. Lecture 3.2 is entitled The Children of Lucifer, the step from love based on kinship to spiritual love, given April 4th, 1906 in Dusseldorf. It could be said that there are two kinds of people on earth. Two mighty spiritual streams can be recognized in humanity. One stream strives more to see everything in the light of knowledge, and the other, in a certain sense, would like to be led. Precisely the way that the spiritual scientific worldview is received shows that striving for bright, clear light is not very widespread. Most people are not yet advanced to the point where they want to know something about everything. Many find comfort in a certain confusion. They are a little embarrassed when they happen to become entirely clear about anything. In reality, however, we must forget everything that can lead to confusion in our consciousness. We must avoid everything that darkens our consciousness, such as is the case with alcohol. There are countless other things that lead us away from clarity. The renunciation of these things also makes people more practical in daily life. Faith in authorities also leads to a darkening of consciousness. We should allow ourselves only to be stimulated by authority. We should not build upon it. What we understand here by the word clarity is not related to any subordinate way of seeing into higher worlds. Such a subordinate approach is indeed connected with the dimming of consciousness in the soul. Mental states of this sort were prevalent in earlier times of human history. During the age of the Atlanteans, human consciousness was much less clear than now. Even the most primitive peoples today are far advanced beyond the state of consciousness attained by the Atlanteans. As we go back further and further in the evolution of humankind, increasingly we come to states in which human beings see from within, but do not understand with the intellect. The intellect began to be just barely perceptible with the Atlantean race. At a certain time, the Atlanteans lived in a state that included modern Ireland. When Atlanteans approached one another, astral pictures arose in their consciousness. Atlanteans could not yet reflect. Only after the frontal lobe of the brain was developed could human beings say I of themselves, capital I. Human beings first started to develop their I consciousness in that part of Atlantis we find in Ireland today. From this location, the Atlanteans spread over Europe toward Asia. The human skeletal remains evident in Neanderthals, derived from descendants of Atlanteans having a sloped forehead. From that time onward, we very slowly learned to think with our minds and to develop an eye consciousness. At the time when human beings began their existence, fructified by the spirit here on the earth, they were far beyond the animals, but could not yet speak or think. Spiritual beings called devas were present then. Footnote, dev, D-E-V, is a Sanskrit term from div, D-I-V, to shine, a resplendent deity. End of footnote. They needed no physical body. They floated in astral space on old moon. By then they had acquired what they could achieve with a physical body. There were also other beings who had not concluded their evolution on the moon, who had not finished their moon evolution. They were luciferic beings, who compared with the devas had stayed behind in their development. The gods, or devas, lived from what had become a characteristic of human beings on the earth, from love between the sexes. Human love is the air or the nourishment that the gods enjoy. In Greek mythology, it was characterized as nectar and ambrosia. As long as human beings slept, Lucifer's hosts had no proper role among them. They made human beings into their own children only during the fifth root race. The human ability to think is not really very old. What is called ancient primeval wisdom was native to the most ancient peoples. Such primeval wisdom is ancient priestly wisdom revealed from within. The ability to know arose, in fact, only a few centuries before Christ's birth, about 600 BC. The power of judgment was also developed only later. With a phenomenon that we find among ancient peoples, we come to an important mystery. Only someone who casts light into the soul world is in a position to understand this phenomenon. Among North American Indian tribes, we find unusual names for familial relationships. The children of siblings were called siblings among the Iroquois, but only the children of brothers, not those of sisters. This is a residue of ancient Atlantis. During these earliest ages of human history, only the familial connection mattered. Women had several husbands, and it was impossible to know who the children's fathers were. All peoples had ancestors who were not so intent on avoiding marriage to close relatives. A close blood tie was not a hindrance to marriage. It was said that children produced by parents who were next of kin were the most highly illuminated. They were somnambulistic. Further evolution leads increasingly toward conditions where marriage occurs between unrelated people. There is a law that the union of unrelated people loosens the etheric from the physical body. Marriage of blood relatives caused the etheric body of descendants to sit firmly within the physical. They were illuminated from within. They thought more with their solar plexus, but they had no judgment. This capacity grows with marriage between unrelated people and appears to the extent that ancient blood relative marriages recede. The old somnambulistic clairvoyance then disappeared, and a new kind of seeing appeared, the power of judgment. This new epoch is characterized by the rise of the Dionysian principle. Dionysus was torn apart, only his heart was saved. When the Dionysian impulse appeared, human beings were torn apart and then put back together again by the heart, the relationship in the soul that is connected with the complete change of the sexual life. The intellect is a transformation of what earlier was sexuality among relatives. Early stages of human development are now repeated in individual human lives at seven-year rhythms. From birth to the seventh year, the etheric body of the child is still completely in the background. Consequently, before the seventh year, the child's memory should not yet be trained, but rather only the senses. We can develop the senses and hence awaken inner forces with the help of the senses. These forces should be stimulated by giving children toys that allow the fantasy to be active, for example, wooden blocks with dots painted on for eyes and so on, but no finished dolls that allow nothing more to be added by fantasy. From the 7th to the 14th years, children must be trained with firm habits that will give them a certain solidity in later life. During these years, everything concerned with the development of the memory should be brought to the fore. Therefore, it is better if we do not attempt to develop the powers of judgment during this stage. Children should be surrounded by authority, but not be authorities themselves. We should influence the children with stories, not with moralizing sermons. They need to hear of great examples and models. To teach morals, it would be necessary to develop feelings for them in the ancient Pythagorean ways. Pythagoras said to his disciples, quote, "You should not swing your sword at a fire," an illustration of the fact that you should not do useless things. Another Pythagorean expression was that one should not reverse one's path unless one has come to its end. Children should not be taught to judge themselves, to judge things themselves, until after puberty. At this age, the etheric body is loosened, and the astral body is only just ready to be active outwardly. The development that individual human beings now pass through in seven-year rhythms was completed by humanity in the course of its enormous evolutionary epoch. Part of the human being's inferior powers were elevated to be formed into the power of judgment. Only then could the hosts of Lucifer intervene. This luciferic power is expressed in independent human judgment. At the time of this luciferic intervention, there appeared for the first time work accomplished by human beings. Following this development in ancient times, we can say that at that time families alone joined together in community. Those who wanted to establish the purely spiritual in place of blood relationships were those working in the name of Lucifer. The church was formed as a continuation of the ancient wisdom of the priests. Alongside it arose a stream that sought after light itself, the Luciferic people, such as the Knights Templar. They said that one must seek light and truth for oneself. There was a sect in the Middle Ages that understood this. Its members called themselves Luciferians. Footnote: Luciferians were followers of Bishop Lucifer Calaritanus of Cagliari, died in 370. Bishop Lucifer was vehemently opposed to Arianism. He defended Athanasius at the Council of Milan and was exiled by Emperor Constantius II in 355. For a time, the Luciferians were in Sardinia, Spain, Gaul, Italy, and Africa. End of footnote. They said that no matter how blessed human beings could become without the light of knowledge, they were not interested. They wanted to penetrate to the light. These are the two streams in humanity. One stream wants only to be blessed, and the other also wants light. Those afraid of knowledge consider Lucifer as the evil one, but for the others, Lucifer is the light bringer, the light bearer. There is a manuscript in the Vatican that speaks of this, but is kept secret by the Church, and this ecclesiastical attitude warns people of Lucifer. The dogma of the Church can certainly contain truth. In the sense, a Pythagorean axiom can be a dogma for those who do not understand it. But when they understand it, it becomes bright, clear knowledge for them. Dogmas are presented as founded on authority. When we understand them, they become clear knowledge. During Paul's time, Christianity was supposed to lead to universal human love. A world religion was to arise from a tribal folk religion. Faith in revelation was dependent on a community based on blood. Moses gave firm laws. Christ did not impart set laws. In place of the law, we find grace, the awakening of the innermost part of the human soul. The organization of the Church strove for something that represents a descending wave, while the striving for freedom of opinion represents an ascending wave. Such striving existed in certain brotherhoods, for example, among the Knights Templar who strive for the light. This group that strives for the light represents the children of Lucifer. Edward Charette sets his drama The Children of Lucifer during the time when Christianity began to be strictly organized. There is an ecclesiastical stream, and next to it the other, the Luciferic principle. The children of Lucifer are the children of the inner light, not of faith in revelation. Those who strive toward the future must feel themselves related. This is expressed in our time through the spiritual scientific movement, that one should come to the light through one's own striving. Within the human soul, a deeply rooted inner freedom should be developed. The Theosophical Periodical is intentionally named Lucifer. The name is connected with the essence of the Theosophical movement. It should be documented that the Luciferic principle was once thrown into the world consciously. When the Catholic Church asserted the dogma of infallibility, the Luciferic principles appeared as an opposing force. One could say that because Theosophy has proclaimed spiritual freedom, the dogma of infallibility was brought about as a counterpole, which is the only way the Catholic Church could save itself. The end of Lecture 3.2.